Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
A controversial plan to do away with some mandatory minimum jail sentences is moving forward on Beacon Hill as part of an effort to ease the strain on overcrowded prisons and tight budgets in the state. This week, a joint committee heard sometimes heated testimony on the bill, sponsored by Governor Patrick, which would end the mandatory minimums for drug offenses that don't involve guns or children. There are strong proponents, as you would imagine, and strong opponents as well. So we thought we'd bring them together to discuss the main points.
Good morning, Mr. Sutter.
How are you, Barbara?
I'm good. That was a hot hearing, wasn't it?
Well, in many ways.
Yeah.
Sam Sutter is the Bristol County District Attorney and the president of the District Attorneys Association. He opposes the repeal of mandatory minimum sentences. Barbara Dugan is on the other side. She's the Massachusetts director of the group Families Against Mandatory Minimums. She says the changes would help rehabilitate offenders who don't deserve to be lumped in with violent criminals.
Mandatory minimums are the extreme equivalent of when the teacher makes the entire class stay after school because a couple people were talking. Except in this situation, the class is forced to stay locked up in their prison cells for perhaps 10 or more years because some people are particularly dangerous. You can't treat every drug offender as if they were either a drug kingpin or a gangbanger.
I think we need to go back to the enactment of the minimum mandatories, which took place back in the late 1980s. And there were four clear reasons why the minimum mandatories were enacted then. And the first was it was a reaction to what was thought to be the coming crack epidemic.
Let me jump in and ask you this specific question, Mr. Sutter. Have mandatory minimum sentences been shown to reduce drug offenses?
I don't think so, but there were three other compelling reasons. And those three reasons still obtain. They still hold true. And the first was that we were seeing wildly divergent sentences coming from judges with very different personal philosophies. And I can attest to that because I was practicing as a defense attorney then, and I knew that, for example, if I got a particular judge that I'm thinking about right now who had a family member that had been involved with drugs, I stood a very good chance of getting a probation sentence, for example. If I got another judge that was a hardliner, it was likely to be a long state prison sentence. There was an inherent unfairness there. And the second reason was that the public was clamoring for more clarity about the sentences. And then the third reason was that the cases were taking too long to resolve themselves, and prosecutors needed an effective tool like the leverage of a minimum mandatory to bring these cases to a prompt resolution.
Barbara Dugan?
Well, if I was a prosecutor, I would certainly want a tool that made my caseload move more quickly, but expediency is not synonymous with justice. You know, we know at this point, after 30 years, these laws have been on the books. It's not a guessing game at this point. We know that they don't reduce drug offenses, and we know that they don't reduce drug dependency or drug addiction. If I were a taxpayer who's shelling out about $47,000 a year to pay for someone to be in a state prison, I would want to make sure that my money was being wisely spent. And so I would perhaps be happy to see the folks who deserve to be in state prisons there and serving serious time, but I would not want to see my tax dollars going for people who do not pose a threat to public safety and perhaps with drug treatment could be turning their lives around more quickly, be back joining the ranks of us taxpayers and getting back on their feet.
Sam?
Well, I mean, there are two points there that need to be addressed. And the first is that low-level drug dealers are serving minimum mandatory sentences, and that's just not true. We've got defendants charged with possession with intent. Those defendants often get probation or they serve short jail sentences. The defendants doing the minimum mandatories are defendants that are significant drug dealers. The other point that I need to make is this. How does it stand logically that if you do away with minimum mandatories, you're going to be reducing the number of drug dealers? If anything, you're going to have the same number of drug dealers or more drug dealers, and I'm not sure that there's an absolute connection between doing away with the minimum mandatories and having fewer inmates serving sentences. The idea that there are these sort of benign, low-level, nonviolent drug dealers is simply incorrect. The fact of the matter is, from what I see, from my vantage point as the district attorney of Bristol County, and when I look over the state, violence is suffocating drug dealing. It's inextricably intertwined.
I would invite your listeners to go to our website, www.famm.org, and read story after story of people who are serving disproportionately long sentences for being peripheral players in a drug deal and being nonviolent and having a drug addiction problem.
She can talk about the stories that are on the website, but the fact of the matter is I would almost guarantee that those are cases that went to trial where the defendant was saying, I'm innocent, and the jury said, no, you're not, because the hard reality is that there is only one of the 11 district attorneys that enforces, as a general rule, the minimum mandatories. The others negotiate with the minimum mandatory. So a defendant, for example, Bob, that's charged with a 100-gram case, or let's say a 28-gram case, that defendant is invariably being offered the opportunity to plead to the 14-gram, to have the sentence reduced, the minimum mandatory, in return for the plea. And that's the tool that the prosecutors do not want to give up, because it's going to lead to many more trials, which will be costly. It's going to lead to wildly divergent sentences. And I think it's going to lead to a system that's worse than the one we have now.
Sam Sutter, Bristol County District Attorney, President of the Massachusetts District Attorneys Association, thanks.
Thank you for the opportunity. And Barbara, thank you.
Barbara Dugan, Director of the group Families Against Mandatory Minimums, thank you.
Thank you so much.